clap your hands unto the Lord. I believe it today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Esther chapter 6. Esther chapter 6, verse number 12. Esther 6, verse number 12. Good to have everybody in the house of the Lord today. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, praise team. Fantastic job you did. Esther chapter 6, verse number 12. And Mordecai came again. Somebody say came again. To the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought, called to be faithful. Look to your neighbor and say, I am called to be faithful. God bless you. You may be seated today. Mark Hatfield tells the story of touring Calcutta with Mother Teresa and visiting the so-called House of the Dying. And the House of the Dying was a place where the sick children were cared for in their last days of life, and where the poor lined up by the hundreds, by the droves, to receive medical attention, watching Mother Teresa minister to these people, feeding and nursing those that were left by others to die. And so Mark Hatfield was overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the pain and suffering. And she looked at that, what happened day after day of what they faced and all the overwhelming needs of others around them, and quickly looked at Mother Teresa and asked this question, because all of those people who were around them, it was hundreds of people thronging them, just, you know, their last days on earth, just getting ready to die. And Mother Teresa ministering to all of these, and this individual, Mark Hatfield, looked at Mother Teresa and said, how in the world can you bear the load day after day ministering to these people? How can you bear this heavy load and not be crushed by it? He asked. And Mother Teresa looked at him and very quickly said, my dear senator, I am not called to be successful. I am called to be faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to thou to faithful men, who shall be also to teach others also. Therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, 4, 5 says, but watch thou in all things and endure afflictions. Mark 13, 13 says it like this, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Can I tell you this morning that God has not called you to be successful? God has called you to be faithful. God has called you to be steady in your affection to Him and His kingdom. God did not call you to make $1 million. He called you to be reliable. God called you to be trusted. He called you to endure as a good soldier. He called you to be faithful. Psalms 31, 23 says, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. I'm going to tell you what you need to do is you need to understand that principle. If you can just be faithful, God can preserve you and plentiful reward the proud doer. Proverbs 13, 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Luke 16, 10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Mark 25, 21, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. I don't know what you're looking for today. I don't know what you're striving for today, but I'm striving for that chapter. I'm striving for that verse. I'm looking for God to say to me one day when I stand face to face with Him and the books are open, I'm looking for Him to say those words to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'm looking for that WD award. You can have your cars, you can have your money, you can have your 401k, you can have all that the world has to offer. I'm just looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to be pleased in me, pleased enough to say those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I'm looking for today. I want to be counted faithful. I want to be counted reliable. I want to be counted trustworthy to God. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not called to make sure everybody else is doing it. I'm not called to make sure everybody else is on the straight and narrow. No, I am called to be faithful. That's what I did even early this morning. Not only give God thanks for this season and everything that He's bestowed unto me, but I also walk the aisles of this church saying, "God, I can't help everybody. I can't make up their mind, but I can help this person right here. I can help this individual right here." And God, I'm asking you today, this is my prayer. This is what I prayed this morning. I said, "God, search my heart, search my way, search my thoughts, search my, just purge me, God. Wash me with hyssop. I want you to be pleased in me." That's what I'm looking for today. I'm not looking for my name to go down in history and everybody pat me on the back. I just want Him to pat me on the back and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee a ruler over many things." I'm called this morning to be faithful. Would you say that? I'm called to be faithful. In Esther chapter 6, verse 1, we find the king unable to sleep. It could have been a number of things. It could have been the cares of the kingdom. I don't know if any of you have ever worked so long or so hard and you put in a lot of hours where your body was tired and you laid there on your bed and you tried to go to sleep, but you just couldn't sleep. Sometimes we get so tired that we're not really tired. And I don't know if that's what happened with this king, but I know many times I'm tired and therefore I go to bed, but I just look up at the ceiling. And that's what happened to this king that day. I don't know if it's the cares of the world or the ambitions or he had a troubled conscience. Well, whatever it was, that night this king could not sleep. And as he was there and he was restless, he said, "I need somebody to bring the Chronicles to me. I need somebody to read my mail. I need somebody to help." And that's really what happened, because many times, you know, you're supposed to, when you can't sleep, you're supposed to do what? Count sheep. Sometimes when you can't sleep, some of you will even grab your Bibles and you'll read your Bibles, because sometimes it'll put you to sleep. You'll read the genealogies, all the begats and all of that. And I think that's what this king was doing. He was so tired that he said, "Hey, can I just get a history lesson? Can I get the book of Chronicles opened up? And could somebody just read me the book of records? It'll put me to sleep." But I believe that's not really what happened. I believe that God did that to this king. I believe that God caused this king restless sleep because I believe that God wanted to call special attention to Mordecai. For the king calls for the records of the Chronicles, but what the king did not count on, instead of the records being tedious and rocking him to sleep, we find that suddenly he was caught up in the records of a heroic tale that he had forgotten all about, because it was a story of the two of the king's closest aides, members of his inner circle, that somehow these people that he trusted, people that had watched the gate for him, people that depended on him for his safety, suddenly brought into the glaring light of the scrutiny into the king's bedroom. It was a tale of betrayal. Two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthath and Teresh, had determined that they were going to sneak into the king's quarters and they were going to kill him. This is found in Esther chapter 2, verse number 21. The Bible says it like this: in those days, while Mordecai sat at the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlain, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the book of Chronicles before the king. Bigthan and Teresh allowed something to fester in their souls that got out and managed to become a plot that Mordecai, who was at the king's gate, heard about. Somehow there was poison and the offense that had somehow crept into the lives of these gatekeepers towards the king. And there's another message all in there. You'll find that in Hebrews 12, 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby defile you. It's very imperative that you deal with hurts and pains and wounds and offenses, because if you don't deal with them, they'll turn into bitterness. And that's what happens to these two guys at the gate. Somehow something got a hold of them. And so now they're at the gate, and now they're devising a plan to somehow kill the king. And Mordecai passed along this information and saved the king's life. The Bible is silent on what they were going to do to kill the king, but on this sleepless night in the palace, the story pours out of the chronicles of the kingdom. And in the end, the reader of the records is dismissed, and the king wants someone to help him honor this man by the name of Mordecai. Can I just stop right there for a moment and let somebody know that your deeds and your actions never go unnoticed? What you do for the kingdom of God, it never goes unnoticed. Just because you've not watched that flower blossom yet, just because nobody has complimented you on cleaning up the bathroom or cleaning up the church or mowing the lawn or picking up the trash or teaching a Bible study or picking somebody up and bringing them to church or giving in the offering. I'm here to preach to somebody or talk to somebody that God takes notice. Everything that you do for the kingdom of God, you may think it goes unnoticed. You may think that nobody knows. Can I just pause and tell you that God keeps a great record book? Do you understand that today? Because you've got to make up in your mind, I'm here today not because I'm noticed of man, but I'm here today because I'm noticed of him. I don't give on the applause of others, but I give on the applause of heaven. If nobody else sees me getting involved in the kingdom of God, there is a God that knows everything that I do. And I'm telling you, if you'll keep doing what you know to do, God begins to bless you. That's why he even said, when you give, give in secret, so your heavenly Father may reward thee openly. Because if you don't give in secret and you wave your dollar and you wave your money and you parade it like, hey, look what I'm throwing in the offering plate. Look what I'm doing. Look at the song I'm singing. Look how I preach. Look at me. Then God is saying, you've already got your reward. But if you'll make up your mind, I'm going to clean this church. Nobody else will be here, but I'm going to clean it when nobody's here. I'm going to pick up trash. I'm going to do everything I can, because there's a God that takes notice. Every prayer you've prayed, every worship, every praise, everything you've done for the kingdom, God takes notice of that. And he writes them down in the book of your life. And that's what happened. Mordecai does a heroic duty, and it somehow went unnoticed, but yet God caused a king not to sleep and caused a king to listen to what could have been his lullabies to lull him asleep, but somehow it caught his attention, and he said, what to be the man? What's going to be done to Mordecai? We've got to do something about this. I'm telling you, there's a power in coming and being faithful. You say, my family's not here. My friends aren't here. My coworker's not here. Don't worry about them. Worry about you. Make up your mind. I remember I was counseling an individual, and he was battling a sickness, a plague in his life. And I said, look, that plague, you can't put anybody else's picture on it. You got to make up your mind that you're doing it for you and you alone, and you're doing it for God. You're not doing it for anybody else. Because if you do it for somebody else, it will never last. And he said, well, that doesn't make sense. I said, it's not supposed to make sense. Because the Bible says the carnal mind can't discern the things of the Spirit. I said, but when you connect to the Spirit and you begin to adapt to his kingdom, that's why he said in his word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You start seeking the kingdom, and the kingdom starts taking notice. God sees what you do, and God sees what you don't do. God sees your commitment or the lack of commitment. God sees your attitude, and he sees your love for one another. Forget about what man says or what man does. God sees and God knows. Isn't that why Galatians said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep being faithful. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Why? Because God's got my miracle. God's got my healing. God's got my breakthrough. God's got my family. He's got the blessings if I'll just learn to be faithful. Not them being faithful, you being faithful. See, many times we get messed up because we get our eyes on others. And we're looking going, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And they need to pray. And God's saying, hello. Forget about them and get you right. Start building your own fire. Can I tell you there's something powerful about fire? Fire attracts attention. Stop trying to put somebody else's fire out and start trying to put your fire up. Start lighting your fire. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? Worship when nobody else does. Praise when nobody else does. Give when nobody else gives. Pray when nobody else prays. Work around the kingdom when nobody else works. What are you doing? I'm building a fire, because if I can build that fire, everybody else will be affected by it. Being faithful. Keep on keeping on. I remember that old song that they sang in the South. Come on, baby, just keep on keeping on. That's what we got to do. Just keep on and get out of that rut, because sometimes we'll find ourselves in spiritual ruts because we do it just out of duty and just out of obligation, no longer out of love. It's just something we got to do. But if you'll learn to say, you know what? I'm not here because I have to. I'm not here because anybody is forcing me to. I'm going to be like the psalmist David. When I enter his courts, it's going to be with praise. When I enter his house, it's going to be with thanksgiving. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You've got to get the excitement back in your life. You've got to get the love back for the kingdom and church again. You say, well, Pastor, I'm disconnected. Well, get connected. Well, Pastor, I'm not. Get involved. If you think back, if you'll take a trip down memory lane and you just reminisce on when you were the most in tune and God blessed you, can I tell you, you were connected. You were involved. And then you look back in the days that you just were in a rut and nothing was going right, disconnected, not involved. This is not rocket science. That's why Jesus said, howbeit these things come but by prayer and fasting. There is a way back. But it's not the easy way back. Living for God's not easy. Can I tell you that? Living for God is not for yellow back people that get so fearful and intimidated by what others say and what others think about them. Living for God's rough. That's why God says you got to be faithful as a good soldier. Can I tell you, here's a 411, sometimes I don't like going to work. Sometimes I don't like getting up early and everybody else in the bed and me having to leave and go to work. Well, guess what? If I don't work, they don't eat. The problem with a lot of people, they've got entitlement mentalities. I'll let somebody else work for me. I'll let somebody else get out of the bed for me. I just need to enjoy the covers. I just need to enjoy everybody else's labor. I need to be a hitchhiker. I don't want to pay for gas. I don't want to pay for insurance. I don't want to get my fingers dirty. That's entitlement. But when you make up your mind, I may not like going to work, but I know the fruits of my labor. When I work, things start happening. I get money in the bank. If I don't work, no money comes in the bank. Make sense, anybody? Same thing with the kingdom of God. If you want God to bless you, it takes hard work. It takes praying when your flesh don't want you to pray. It takes fasting when your flesh wants to eat. It takes you making up your mind. I don't care who comes, who goes, but I'm coming to church. Building a fire. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm going to build a fire. I got to hurry. Esther chapter 6, verse 3. And the king says this. He listens to what happened. He listens to the tale. And he says, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there's nothing that's been done for him. And the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to what? Hang Mordecai on the gallows that he'd prepared for them. God is saying, I'm going to honor my man. And there was an enemy already there wanting to take that man out. And that's why God says, king ain't sleeping tonight. Because there's a man in the courts that wants to take out my faithful man. He says, I'm going to make this king not sleep. I'm going to make this king realize the heroic tale that happened. And he finds it out and now says, who's in the courts? Should have just said, the enemy's in the court. He said, well, the king's servant said to him, behold, Haman stands in the court. And the king says, let him come in. Pretty credible, because I'm telling you, God has a sense of humor. He really does. He really does. He has the enemy. Come in. And the Bible says Haman's coming to the kingdom to speak against Mordecai, to have him killed. And the king's wanting to talk to Haman about honoring Mordecai. Here it is in verse number 6. So Haman comes in. And the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor? And listen to this carnal cat. Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than myself? Haman walks in thinking he's all that and a bag of chips. He was the one that was the preacher. He was the one that had the spotlight. He's like, the king likes me, man. I'm coming in to kill my neighbor, but forget about that. I need some honor. That's what Naaman was thinking about. And so he says, what shall be done to this man? And Haman answered the king, listen, this is what you're going to do, king. This is how you're going to honor this man, because I know you like to delight in honor. He said this in verse number 8. He said, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear. I want to wear that robe. And the horse that you ride on, and the crown that's on your head, let that be on my head. Let that apparel and the horse be delivered, verse 9, to the hand of the one, the king's most noble princess, that they may array the man with all from the king delights to honor him. Find somebody in the kingdom to put all that stuff on. That's what Naaman was thinking. So it's about time somebody saw my value. If you have to step on somebody to get elevated, you got the wrong spirit. Naaman loved to step on people. Naaman loved to take out those that had somehow challenged him. But the Lord says the way up is not stepping, but the way up is down. That's why he said those that are going to be the greatest of the kingdom are those that become the servant of all. And so Naaman says this, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. And all of a sudden, after Haman throws it out, his jaw had to drop when he hears the words from the king. Sounds great, Haman. Verse 10, make haste and take the apparel on the horse as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sits at the king's gate, and let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai. Boy, I tell you what, that probably burned him up. And brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor. What was happening? What was taking place? I'm going to tell you, the enemy was coming to destroy, to kill, and yet God used that enemy to honor a faithful servant. Forget about everybody else around you. Forget about what everybody else is doing or not doing. You are called, not your neighbor, not your friend, but you are called to be faithful. Faithful in the good times and faithful in the bad times. Faithful when everything's going right and faithful when all hell is coming against you. God takes notice of that. We are called to be faithful. But this is where the whole conclusion comes. After Mordecai is honored, you find his true character. Now, if I were to ask you, if you were honored, what would you do? If the king delighted in you, what would be your response? Can I tell you the majority of the responses from the world would be, it's about time. I get the chair now. I remember years ago, there was a gentleman. You wouldn't know him, so that's okay. I'm not going to tell his name. But anyways, he said, I looked at him. I said, hey, man, glad to have you here. You know, we made small talk. But somehow, he told me his number one desire was to sit on a red chair. Back in the time, we had red chairs up here. He said, that's what I'm looking for. There's a lot of people. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for the spotlight. They're looking for everybody to say, hey, look at me. Look what I've done. Look what I have had. Look, the king has given me his threads. I'm riding on his horse. Look at me. You give somebody a little bit of money and a little bit of power, you'll find their true character. This is where I find Mordecai's character. In verse number 12, and Mordecai, after he was honored, after he was paraded in the streets, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate. Wow. After the honor, after the promotion, he goes back to the king's gate. You want to know why? It was his station in life. This was the place where Mordecai made the most
important contribution in his life. It was the familiar and it was the ordinary that elevated him to such a place of honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. He did not hang around to try to prolong the honors of the king. He did not go to house and say, hey, let's have a party. He didn't continue to seek the attention of the king. No, he simply went back to the king's gate. There are very few people in life who can handle such an immediate promotion and it not ruin them. Because prosperity and promotion has slain far more than has adversity and disappointments. Because you give a little bit of money and a little bit of fame to a man, you'll find his true nature. And Mordecai was never greater than he was when he returned to the king's gate. Thanksgiving. My message to you is simple. If you don't hear anything else Pastor has said in the minutes that I've had, please remember this. You were not called to leave a legacy of your own. You were not called to be elevated. You were not called to be promoted. You were not called to say, hey, look at me. You were called to be faithful. You were called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are called to endure hardships and afflictions as a good soldier. You are called to be reliable. You are called to be trustworthy. You are called to be faithful. No greater thing could ever be spoken of you than the words that great is that man because he was faithful. Great is that woman because she never gave up. Great is that individual because he made up his mind that the glory I want is in the glory at the king's gate because I have called to be faithful. And Mordecai understood this principle, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever thou shalt humble themselves as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The very meaning of the name Mordecai, if you look it up, you know what that means? It means little man. And he never thought too much of himself. And he realized every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. But if your name meant little man, some of you would have an inferior complex. Then you'd always felt like you were the victim. But this man understood is because of him. All that has been bestowed unto me. And that's why we have finished a week of Thanksgiving. And we have sat around tables and we have been thankful for everything that we've been given to us. But I'm going to tell you, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And as quick as you received it is as quick as you can lose it. Because if you'll lose your focus on how it came, is how it will leave. But if you'll realize and remember that everything that God gives is because of him. That's why Job made up his mind. He gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you've got to learn to become a worshiper in the good times, but really in the bad times. You are called to be a praiser, not when everything's going right, but when everything's falling apart. That's when you know you have the true measure of faith, is when faith is tested and you can put your feet on the solid rock and say, let the storms of life come, let the winds blow. I'm going to stand here. Why? Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody make a determination. God, I'm going to be faithful. God, I'm going to be trustworthy. God, I'm not looking for promotion, but God, I'm just looking to be a contributor at your gate. I don't need a recognition. I don't need a pat on my back. I'm doing it for you and your kingdom. So we've got to be careful and not allow the pursuits and the achievements demand take us away from the gate. We've got to stay at the King's gate. When God blessed your life, it was when you were at the King's gate. When God gave blessings and anointing and favor, it was when you were connected at the King's gate. And you say, well, Pastor, I haven't been connected like I used to be connected. I haven't been involved like I used to be. Well, get back to the King's gate. Quit getting the big idea it was because of you. No, it's not because of you. It's because of Him. And if you realize that, then you realize, oh, that's within me. It's corruptible. But if I can understand that He dwells all of this, that's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, not through myself. Can I tell you? So you own your company. Good for you. Go back to the gate. So you become the employee of the year. Good for you. Go back to the gate. You own a home. Good for you. Go back to the gate. You drive a nice car. Good for you. But go back to the gate. You have a great 401k in retirement. Great for you. But go back to the gate. For it's at the gate that makes you. It's at the gate that empowers you. It's at the gate where the blessings are. Don't lose sight of the gate. Because there is glory in the gate. There is glory in God when you become faithful. I believe a couple Sundays ago I preached about great is thy faithfulness. And the only way we can be faithful is we've got to be connected to the faithfulness of God. And if we can get connected to Him and embrace Him, it's like when I teach about love. You can't give out what you don't have. The reason why people are mean and cruel and are not nice to other people is because they don't love themselves. And the reason why they don't love themselves is they never embrace the love. For God is love. If you want to be faithful, you've got to connect. You've got to interweave everything about you. You've got to say, you know what? I've got to just pour myself into this. That's why at the very beginning the man looked at Mother Teresa and said, doesn't this overwhelm you? You're not making a difference. She said, I'm not called to be successful. In men's eyes, they measure success on how big the crowds are and how the healings transpire. That's not my job. If everybody I pray for dies, it does not make me unsuccessful. I'm going to pray, I'm going to hold fast, I'm going to have faith because I believe there is power in faithfulness. I'm not called to be successful. I'm called to be faithful. Brother Alex, would you come? What we need is a fresh baptism of faithfulness. Not doing it for me, but doing it for you. Make it up your mind. God, it's a new year. 2018's about done. And I'm reflecting on what I have and haven't done in 2018. But I'm making a commitment in 2019 and right now to 2019. I'm going to plug in. I'm going to connect with this thing. I'm going to spend time in prayer. Can I tell you, your home can't make without prayer. Your relationships can't make it without prayer. Your kids, they can't make it without prayer. Your futures can't make it without prayer. You want God to help your marriage. You want God to help your finances, your home, your visions, your goals, your dreams, your ambitions. You've got to learn to say, God, I'm going to be like Job. Though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. Though things come my way that I may not understand, I'm going to connect with you because the glory that I have is not in the stuff that I possess, but it's at the King's gate. It's coming to the King's house. I may never get up there. I may never speak. I may never sing. But if I could just beat the King's gate, if I could just open the door for somebody, if I could just shake somebody's hand and tell somebody that I love them, that's the glory at the King's gate. because it's not about me, it's about him. That's why John said, he must increase and I must decrease. It's about being called to be faithful. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Would you raise your hands all across this building? Would you just say, God, you can count on me. I'll pray when nobody else wants to pray. I'll witness when nobody else wants to witness. I'll be involved in your kingdom when nobody else wants to be involved in the kingdom. I'll be like David. I'll go back to the harp. Even though the javelins of life by Saul are being thrown at me, I'm going to go back and play a song unto you. Come on, there's glory at the gate. By staying in your marriage, you stay at the gate. By continuing to do your work, you stay at the gate. By raising your children, you stay at the gate. By living by the grace of God, you stay in the gate. You being a better husband, you're staying in the gate. You're being a more devoted mother, you're staying at the gate. I think it'd be fitting for you to grab somebody by the hand and say, would you come to the gate with me and make commitments this morning? Commitments that say, God, I can't change the past, but I'm going to change today. And therefore, by changing today, I'm going to change my tomorrows and my future tomorrows. God, help me. Help me put a love for truth and a love for your kingdom. Help me, God, to be faithful. Help me to endure. Oh, come on, let's talk to the Lord this morning. Come on, you've been called to be faithful. You've been called to endure. Not out of duty, not out of obligation, but out of love and joy. God, you can count on me. I've got friends that need this. I've got family that need this. They depend on me. Because I'm the only Jesus that they'll ever see. Help me, God, to be connected. Help me to be more involved. Help me, God, not to seek my kingdom, but help me seek your kingdom. Hallelujah. Come on, let's talk to the Lord. Search my heart, God. Search my life, God. I want that well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to please you. I want you to be pleased in me, God. Hallelujah. Come on. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. Sharakaya told us. You may not understand it. You may not comprehend it. But there's power at the gate. Oh, count on me, God. Count on me, God. Sharakaya told us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, raise that standard. Raise it up today. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. to turn things around. I'm going to break the curse. I'm going to step into blessing. I'm going to step into that newness of life. Hallelujah. Yeah, I was praying here. I don't want to belabor it. But I was praying here the other day. And I just praying for a spiritual awakening. For a spiritual climate to turn. And the Lord kind of impressed to me that I can't necessarily change the spiritual climate of this house. I can't change the spiritual climate in your home. But I can change the spiritual climate in my home. And if I could change the spiritual climate in me, and I could pray for that spiritual awakening in me, then I could help others. And that's one thing we've got to do, because the enemy's very crafty. In whatever ministry it is, in whatever thing you do for the kingdom, the enemy has a way of messing you up. I'm the only one involved in this ministry. I'm the only one praying. I'm the only one worshiping. I'm the only one praising. Me, me, me. I'm the only one working, cleaning the church. And you get so judgmental, self-righteous, and the Lord saying, hello, I haven't called you to be self-righteous. I've called you to be faithful and to change your own spiritual climate. Because when you start drinking from the Lord's beverage, you start loving everybody. I challenge you, start putting God first in everything you do. Talking about your walk with God, your prayer walk, talking about giving, talking about attendance, talking about being involved. Put God first and just watch what He does to your home in 30 days. If you'll do that from now until the beginning of 2019, I believe you'll change the whole spiritual climate in your own home, in your own relationships, by changing you. You can't control anybody else, but you can control you. And you make up your mind, I'm changing me. Then God's going to cause restless sleep to everybody else around you. And God's going to cause your enemies to elevate you. In Jesus' name. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Amen. Find two or three people, love on somebody. Make sure you're here tonight, 6 o'clock. Come early for prayer, 5:30. Amen. God bless you. I love every one of you. Be faithful. Be what God has called you to be. Faithful.